We are beautiful. And we're going to share the screen. One second. Right. Now I think you can see that. This is a verse from Tehillim from Psalms, and it's Psalm 96. Shiru Lashem Shir Hadash, sing to God a new song. Shiru Lashem Kol Haaretz, sing to Hashem the whole world. Now, and then it continues, just 1 second. That's three. And then it continues at the end of the psalm. Lifnei Hashem, before God. Kiva, because he's coming. Kiva lishpot haaretz, because he's coming to judge the earth. Yishpot tevu b'tzedek, he will judge the world with righteousness. Va'amim be'emunato, and the nations, the peoples, with his faithfulness. So this is Psalm 96. Now, the relevance of Psalm 96 is that this discourse is partly about the previous Rebbe. And the previous Rebbe in 1927 was arrested because of his work in strengthening Judaism in the USSR, in communist Russia, where there was a very strong attempt, especially, unfortunately, from the Jewish communists, who were called the Esvektia, as a group, and they were trying to stamp out Judaism. And Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, Joseph Isaac, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, he was working very hard to keep Judaism alive. So he was arrested, and at first he was condemned to death, and then he was kept in prison for a time, interrogated, all kinds of unpleasant things. Then finally, he was told, or not finally, he was then told that he would be exiled to a distant part of Russia, Kostroma, instead of being executed or being in prison in the main prison. And then he was told he would be free. And he was set free on the 12th of Tammuz. Now, the 12th of Tammuz is this coming Shabbat. Now, the point is that when, so he was born in 1880, and this discourse was said in 1975. So 1975 plus 20 years from the 19th century is 95. So that means when this discourse was said, Rabbi Joseph Isaac would have been 95 years old. He died many years earlier. He died in 1950 when he was 70 years old. But if he would have lived when this discourse was said, he would have been 95, and therefore he would be in his 96th year. And so therefore, this discourse is focused partly on this verse from his capital Tehillim, his chapter in Psalms. Now, I must point out that it's a common practice that a person says the psalm for the people that they are concerned about, for themselves, for their spouse, their children, grandchildren, and parents, and so on. So it's always the It's one more than their age, because when a person is, let's say, 50 years old, That means on his 50th birthday, he has completed 50 years and he's now entering the 51st year. So his psalm is going to be psalm number 51 because he's now in his 51st year and so on. So this opens up the beginning of the discourse that we're going to explore. Then there's another passage which comes from this week's Sedra, and that will crop up in a little while, so I think we'll look at it now. So in Parshat Chukat, we have a double Sedra this week, but in Parshat Chukat, it describes the traveling of the Am Yisrael in the desert, and it says, Umisham be'erav, from there they went to the well. Now that well, hi ha-be'er, that's the well, Asher amar Hashem le-Moshe, which God said to Moshe, Esof et ha'am, gather the people, ve'etna lehem mayim, and I'll give them water. Now actually, that was the well where Moshe hit the rock. But it doesn't mention that here. It says, Az yashir Yisrael et hashirah hazot. Then Israel sang this song, Ali ve'er enula, rise up, well, oh well, enula, answer it. Now notice that here the word is shirah in the feminine, a song in the feminine, whereas when we had it before, it was shir hadash, a song in the masculine. All right, so that will be discussed in the discourse. Now, then we have a little bit more about this well. So, first of all, Ali ve'er, let the well rise up, enula, sing to it or say to it. There are two movements here. One is the movement from below to above of the well, as it were, rising up. And the other is from above to below, something moving down towards the well. Now, Be'er chafahu asarim, the well which was dug by princes, karua nedivei aham, and it was also dug out by the leaders of the people, b'mechokek b'mishanotam, with, so it uses here the term with maces, with a kind of a staff. It's two different words, which both can be translated as a staff, that they dug out these this well. Rashi explains that they dug out the channel from the well. The well was a rock, and the rock poured water, and the water poured along channels. And so these are channels that they made. That's one way of understanding what this verse is saying. The discourse is going to take the whole concept into a far broader dimension. But here we have this idea of the well. So I think at this point, we're ready to begin the actual discourse. And so let's have the melody of the discourse in order to help us understand it. Oh, yam, 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 yam. Now let me ask you, can you see the discourse now? Hi, yes. Can you see the discourse?
Yes, Tally.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful. Right. Now, so this discourse was said in 1975, and it was said actually on the 13th of Tammuz. There was a previous discourse on the day before, And the footnotes tell us that this is a kind of continuation of that discourse. And there was a third discourse as well a few days later or a day later. So we're taking the middle of these three discourses, which is printed in Dvar Malchut. Now, Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash, sing to God a new song in the masculine. Shiru Lashem Kol Haaretz, sing to God the whole world. Let the whole world sing to God.
Sorry, we don't see the discourse, actually.
Oh,
I
you
don't
see it?
I know, just no, sorry.
One second. Thank you for telling me, Rivka, that's very important. Right, can you see it now?
Yes, thank you.
Right, okay, beautiful. So here's the discourse. Shiru Lashem Shir Hadash, sing to God a new song. Shiru Lashem Kol Haaretz, let all the whole world sing to God. Umasayim, and at the end of that chapter of Psalms, it says, as we read, Yishbot Tevil B'Tzedek, let God judge the world with righteousness, ve'amin ve'emunato, and judge the peoples with his faith. Now, it says in the book called the Shla stands for Shnei Luchot HaBrit, the two tablets of the covenant. It was written in the 16th century by a Kabbalist called Rabbi Yeshaya HaLevi Horowitz. And he says, the Mizmor Zeh Kahi Bag'ula Atida Lavo. This psalm is talking about the future redemption with Mashiach. She'az Yikuyam Ma She'katuv, and then will be kept what it says. V'haya Hashem LeMelech Al Kol HaOretz. Then God will be king over the whole world. V'yomahu Yi Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad. On that day, his name will be one, Hashem will be one, and his name will be one. That's now that's actually a verse in Zechariah, but it's relating it to this passage, these passages here. So we have this idea that God's kingship will be revealed. And because God's kingship will be revealed, Hashem will be king of the whole world in a revealed way. And therefore, in our Psalm 96, it says, V'lechein ne'emar shiru l'Hashem kol ha'aretz, let the whole world sing to God. V'amim yiyu be'emunato, and it gives an interpretation here. The peoples will have the faith, they will have faith in God. They will believe in God in a proper way. Kevan shel atid lavo, because in the future God says, "Epoch el amim safa brura." I will turn. This is God speaking. I will turn to the nations a clear lip, safa brura, likro kulam b'shem Hashem, so that all of them will call on the name of God, le'ovdo shem echad, to serve God together. Now, this is also connected with the fact that it says Shir Hadash in the masculine, and there are various passages. Now, what happens in Tosafot, he's discussing a passage in the Haggadah of Pesach, where it uses two terms. It uses the term of Shirah, we will say before God, Shira Chadasha, a new song in the feminine, right? The fact that it's got a hey at the end that shows it's feminine. And then it says, Nodelecha Shir Chadash, and that's a song in the masculine. Now, the song represents, let's just understand what this is saying. I'm going to say it not from inside the text. The song represents the feeling of joy at the redemption. The problem is there are many redemptions because each time there's a redemption, that's a very wonderful thing and everyone's very happy. Then the joy turns to pain as that redemption turns into something which is not a redemption at all, is another kind of exile, another kind of problem. But the final redemption with Mashiach, that will be a concluding redemption where there will be no exile, there'll be no problem after that. So this is compared to the male and female song. So the female song is like the joy of womanhood, except that the problem is that when a woman has a baby, there's a lot of pain involved, usually, unfortunately. As we have the whole story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And as a result of that, childbirth is usually a very painful process. And so that is seen as something which is both a redemption, but also has pain involved because the redemption is going to lead to another form of exile. Whereas the final redemption is a redemption which is like a song which is in the masculine because it doesn't have this pain at the end. It only leads to joy, and that is the joy of the coming of Mashiach, after which there will be no exile. So here we have that sort of subtlety about the concept of exile and redemption, which is added in over here. Now let's get back into the discourse and see where it's going to lead us. Now, what this means is because the whole idea of a song, whether it's masculine or feminine, he worked wonders. As is written in what we just, no, we didn't see it. So there's another wonder. There's the one we could have had this up on the board as well. I forgot about this one. This is when they had the splitting of the sea. And then it says, As Yashem Moshe v'nei Israel, then Moses and the Jewish people sang et hashira this song. So there's the famous Song of the Sea, which is written in the Torah in Parshat Beshalach, and it's part of our prayer book. And if one is saying the prayers in full, it's part of the daily prayers every single day. So we have this Song of the Sea, which is praising God for the miracle of splitting the sea. Shezer biglal, and this is because, why did they sing this song? Shavaya Yisrael anisim vaniflaot. The Jewish people saw the miracles, the wonders, which were expressed in the verses before this, describing the whole crossing of the sea and how miraculously it opened up, and they went through the sea, and then the Egyptians tried to follow, and the Egyptians and the sea closed in on the Egyptians, so it rescued the Jewish people. So that's also what is said on the Shabbat that we're coming to, of Yud Beis Tammuz, of the 12th of Tammuz, that's this coming Shabbat. As Yashemo Yisrael et Hashira, the passage we did look at, that Israel, the Jewish people, sang this song. And that's because of the miracle which was revealed by the well. Now, there are two aspects to this miracle. One, you could say simply the fact that they had this well, the water pouring out of the stone, that's a very miraculous thing. But the way the Rashi explains it is that the Amorians, the Syrians, wanted to attack the Jewish people. And they had got into a kind of crevices or caves in the rocks. And that was on one side of a valley. And the Jewish people are supposed to go in the bottom of the valley, where that means below this rocky mountain. And then they were going to come out of their caves. The Syrians were going to come out of their caves and pour rocks on the Jewish people or other things. And they were going to attack them and, God forbid, destroy them. Now, the other side of this valley was also a mountain. And the way that Rashi explains it, based on the Midrash, there were large boulders sticking out of the mountain. So one side there's large boulders sticking out, the other side there's caves. So the Syrians are waiting inside the caves. But then God made the two mountains come together. So the large boulders went inside the caves and crushed the Syrians. And so therefore, this army, this ambush that was waiting there to attack the Jews was destroyed. And not a very PC image, you know, their blood and so on fell down the mountainside, went into the water, and mixed with the water of the well. So when the water of the well, which is a rock, and the water is pouring out of the well, but the water from the well goes down the bottom, through the bottom of the valley, they were able to see that people had been killed. And then they realized that there was an ambush and God had miraculously destroyed this ambush before they even found out anything about it. And so they realized that was a tremendous miracle. So that is the miracle, which, so in addition, you could say, of the basic idea that the rock, this rock is pouring out water, is itself a miracle. So this is the miracle that they're singing a song. Now, so Rashi finishes off after describing this whole event. The Israel Rauva Amru Shira, and the Jewish people saw and they sang a song. Now, Ach Yesh Kama Dagot Binyan Ashira, there are a number of different levels concerning a song. As it says in Hasidic teachings, various levels, for example, there's what's called Shir. You see, there's Shir Pashut, which is not mentioned in the text, a simple song. Then there's Shir Kaful, a double song. Then Shir Mushulash, a triple song, and Shir Meruba, and a quadruple song. Now, how exactly to explain those terms is, you know, the like different commentaries explaining it, but it's the way in which a song can be a very simple song, or more and more and more complex. So the quadruple song is a more complex song than the simple song. Now, then there is also the idea of Shira Chadasha, the new song which is feminine, and Shir Chadash, the new song which is masculine. V'chol ha'shirot shenemru kodem hazman de la'atid lavo. And then he gives a general statement. All the songs which were sung or will be sung before the future, they're all feminine. But when the future comes, only the song of the future with Mashiach is in the masculine Shir Chadash, the masculine song. Now that, as explained earlier, because if it's before Mashiach, although it's a beautiful miracle, nonetheless, it's going to be followed by some kind of pain and some kind of exile. However, there's an interesting point. And even so, Omrim b'Shabbat, we say on Shabbat, in part of the daily Shabbat service, Shiru l'Hashem Shir Chadash, sing to God a new song, l'shon zachah, in the masculine. And so, so that is talking about the future. That's talking about the future with Mashiach. So therefore, in that part of the prayers that we say every Shabbat, certain psalms which are added in on the Shabbat morning in the Psukei de Zimra, in the psalms before we say the Shema, so there is this masculine song talking about the messianic future, the future with Mashiach. Now, even though there won't be that masculine song until the future with Mashiach, nonetheless, hinei mikol makom, this is important, nonetheless, yesh b'chol Shabbat, every single Shabbat, that's k'tzat me'ein v'dugmat oto shir chadash. There's something a little bit like that new song that will be sung in the time of Mashiach. And that's the reason why we say this every single Shabbat. So therefore, just as this applies to Shabbat in time, that means the seventh day of every single week, so it is concerning Shabbat as regards people in the Jewish people, that there are different groups within the Jewish people, and the Torah sages, they are like Shabbat. They are called Shabbat. And so for them, they have, even at this time, they have something like the Shir Hadash, the masculine song that will be in the future. Okay, so I just want to pause on this for a moment. Now, there's a very interesting idea with all these different teachings about the time of Mashiach. One of the key aspects of Hasidic thought is the idea that even now, in a time of Galut, it is possible for a person to experience something of the time of Mashiach. And so there we have the idea that the sages, as he says, the Torah sages, they have the quality of Shabbat. And the same way that Shabbat is a little bit of the time of Mashiach, it's called Me'ein Olam Haba, a little bit of the world to come. So too, the person who is a Torah scholar, especially a tzaddik, a righteous person like a rebbe or the rebbe's wife, these are very significant, very spiritual people who taste in this world something of the taste of the future of the time of Mashiach. So there we have the idea of the time of Mashiach here in this world, whether in Shabbat for everyone or certain individuals who experience Mashiach in their own consciousness. Are there any questions anyone would like to ask or points to point out? Okay. I hope everyone's surviving the heat. That's rather a shame. Right. Omnam, however, the whole idea of a song, even the feminine song, which is at this time before Mashiach, relates to the masculine song, the new masculine song in the future. Since through the feminine songs, one comes to the masculine song. In other words, all the feminine songs, which are, as it were, partial redemptions, partial geula. And there are these partial geulot, these partial redemptions all the way along the line. So they are all feeding into or drawing from the actual moment and time and epoch of Mashiach when there will be the total redemption. And we can understand this. Now there's a very intriguing passage over here from the Talmud. And it's from the Talmud in Tractate Sanhedrin. And there in the 10th chapter, it has a whole section about Mashiach. And if one wants to know something about Jewish teaching about Mashiach, one place to look is in this 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, the chapter which begins, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelik L'Olam Haba, every Jew has a portion in the world to come. And sometime further on in this chapter, in the pages 90 something in Sanhedrin, it discusses Mashiach giving many different views. And one of the things it says, so it says something extremely important, which shows the tremendous importance about singing a song as a result of a miracle. That's a very important thing to do, to sing a song. In other words, to recognize the miracle. to recognize the miracles and to express that. And the traditional way of expressing it is in the form of a psalm. Because what does it say in this Talmudic passage in Sanhedrin? Shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, that's God, wanted la'asot Chizkiyah Mashiach. He wanted to make King Hezekiah Mashiach. When we look in Tanakh, the Book of Kings, we find this very, very righteous and wonderful king called Chizkiyahu. And God wanted to make him the Messiah. It would have changed the whole of history. Ela she'hayta ha'tana, but there was a claim from the attribute of severity, she'asita lo kol ha'nisim halalu, you made for him all these miracles, and he never said a song before you. He never sang in recognition of the miracle. So that's like a shocking thing when you come to that in the Talmud, you know. So the whole story of Jewish history could have been solved in a much earlier period, but because he or we didn't sing the song recognizing the miracles of the time, that was denied, and he was not made into Mashiach, and instead we've got this whole cycle of exile and redemption, and then again exile and again redemption, and so on, and ex until you come to the position we're in, where we are standing on the threshold of the ultimate redemption, but we also have to recognize the miracles that God gives us. Umezeh Muchach, 9:20. From this it shows God Inyan Damirat Shira, how important it is to sing a song in recognition of the miracle. Shezeh Ikev Lasot Chizkiyahu Mashiach. The fact that a song wasn't sung prevented him from being Mashiach. Shezeh Inyan HaGaula Amitit VaShleima. That would have been the true and ultimate redemption. Umezeh Guf HaMuvan, and from this itself we can understand. Sheseda HaDvarim, the order of things is, through saying the song at this time in this epoch of history before Mashiach. Through that, we come to the true and complete redemption. And through that, there will be the masculine song, which does not end in any kind of weeping. It is joyful right through to the end. So that means that recognizing miracles is something tremendously important. Right. So he knits this back into the whole idea that we had before, that there's the feminine song during the time of Galut, and then comes, because the feminine joy, as it were, is followed by, it's the joy of childbirth, but in the joy of childbirth, there's pain. But nonetheless, all that is part of a process which leads ultimately to the situation where it's pure joy, and that is the time of Mashiach. Now, that shows us, now it's moving to another section here. But that shows us the importance of recognizing Nisim, recognizing miracles. And let me just speak face to face for a moment. Now, the Jewish people are in a tremendous, tremendous crisis, which we've been in since October the 7th, in a much more open way than before. You could say we're always in some kind of crisis. But since October the 7th, we're in a very serious crisis. And now, at this moment, we're in an even more serious aspect to that. One of the important things for us is to recognize the miracles that have happened for us and the way in which we have been saved time and time again from, God forbid, most utter destruction. The forces that Iran unleashed against us, going back in the last 2 years in the most terrible way. Now, there was the Iron Dome protecting us. But my grandson is married to my granddaughter, a wonderful, wonderful young man who works on the Iron Dome in Israel. He said that as far as he and his colleagues were concerned, it was like the crossing of the Red Sea, the splitting of the Red Sea, the fact that the Iron Dome protected us in a completely new kind of onslaught from Iran that we'd never experienced before, and the system had never been tested in that way before. He said that was like the splitting of the sea, a miracle like the splitting of the sea. Now, my daughter is actually his mother-in-law. Is a healer, a Chinese practitioner. She practices Chinese medicine. And immediately after October 7th, the Israeli army instituted bringing 20 or 30 healers like her to Gaza once a week, and they would provide healing, acupuncture, other kinds of therapy for our soldiers in Gaza. And for my daughter, this is our oldest daughter, she would begin every session meeting a soldier. What miracles have you experienced? And she said, every single soldier, whether Dati or Chiloni, however they would define themselves, religious, secular, made no difference. They all had witnessed miracles. And that was something very, very moving, very, very special. And we, as the Jewish people as a whole, whether in Israel or outside Israel, we must recognize the miracles that God has performed for us in Israel and with the help, and to some extent elsewhere as well. There have been some horrific cases of murders, such as Bondi Beach, and Manchester and other such places. At the same time, quite a number of very serious plots were discovered on time, and nothing happened. We were saved. And so we really do have to recognize this miraculous dimension to our lives at the moment. So I think that that's an important thing to understand in relation to this discourse. Hi, Gloria, lovely seeing you. Right, so we are going back. We're now going to move to the well, because the thing about the well, that is the subject of the song that we saw in the Torah text, the subject of this well, which is dug by the princes. Now, let's see what this means, because it's seen through the lens of these Hasidic teachings. This becomes a very profound mystical teaching about the nature of the Jewish soul. Now, this whole idea of this song connects with the idea of the well. And we have this phrase, Ali ve'er, rise up well, enula, and that means like answer it, some kind of input to the well. And then it describes the idea of the well in detail, the way the princes dug it, and the generous of the people also dug, really need another word for digging, but a similar term. And that's explained to me that what does it mean, rise up well and answer it? That's there also in the soul of a person. And it explains in Hasidic teachings that there is a level among the Jewish people at which they're called the well. And in this well, there has to be the idea of a miracle. And that's the idea of rise up well, that the well rises up because there's a miraculous event. And this is connected with the song, Oz Yashir. That's when the Jewish people sang this song about the well. And the Magid, that means the second leader of Hasidism. You have the Baal Shem Tov first, then the second leader, the Magid of Mezrich. He quotes something from the Mishnah. Now, what does it say in the Mishnah? Kol ba'alei asher yotzin b'shir v'nimshachin b'shir. Now, the Mishnah is not talking about songs, even though the word song is repeated several times. But the word shir, which means songs, many words in Hebrew have several meanings. It also means a halter, something going round the neck of, let's say, a calf. So if you have a calf and it's got a nice halter, can the calf go out on Shabbat wearing this halter? Or is it considered carrying on Shabbat? One of the intriguing things about Shabbat is that animals are also not supposed to work. So the Mishnah says that if an animal does have a halter, it can go out with a halter and it can be pulled with a halter. Now that is taken by the Mezritcher Magid and retranslated that kol inyan, that every aspect, shel aliyah, of ascent, mimahut lemahut, of one dimension of consciousness, we could say, to a higher dimension of consciousness, shuraim kshira, is connected with song. As you see in practical fact, that if a person becomes inspired, he or she begins to song, begins to sing, he begins to sing a melody. And the melody expresses the way he is somehow or she is somehow on a higher level. So, Kol Ba'alei Asher, anyone who is able to sing, the sing will express the way the person is moving from one dimension of consciousness to another. V'al yedei zeh yotzin v'nimshachin, and through that one goes out of the level one is in, and one is drawn to a higher level. V'al zeh tzarich l'yot ha'inyan de'en ulam. Now that's what it means, that there's the well, and there's the thing of there's Ali Be'er, we're saying to the well, rise up, and also there's this phrase en ulah, like speak to the well. Now there are two ways of understanding it, and understanding this. The first is that the rising of the well is through the fact shelifnei zeh yesh no en ulah. Before the well rises, there's like a flow downwards to the well. And that is like the arousal from above that comes before the arousal from below. Now, one can see this. I mean, this idea of arousal from above, arousal from below is taken from the Zohar. And in the Zohar, it's a kind of a male-female sequence that you have the male reaching towards the female, and as a result, the female responds to the male. And this, of course, is so, or not of course. But this is so, it says in a Hasidic text, that the reason that there is love between male and female here in this physical world is because of the spiritual love that is there in the divine sphere, in the divine emanations. So because there's this spiritual love in the divine emanations from male to female, and the female receiving the male and ascending through the male, that is because of that, we have the sort of physical manifestations of that. But the key thing is the spiritual dimension, which is what is spoken about in the Song of Songs, where although it describes it in graphic terms as if it's a physical man and a physical woman, it is actually speaking about the spiritual connection of the Jewish people with the divine, or the divine within the divine himself. Now, so there we have the movement from above, which enables the well to respond. So that's one aspect. The second is that after the well has risen up, then you have the answering of the well, as in the order in the verse. That is the arousal from above, which comes after the arousal from below. So one way of understanding it is the sequence is that the male reaches towards the female, and that excites the female, and she responds to the male. The other is that then The fact that she responds to the male causes yet a higher response from the male, from the male, and translating all that into spiritual terms. And so then comes the explanation that the idea of the rising of the well and the transmission to the well is because this is Be'er Shechafaru Asarim, this is the well which was dug by princes or by the generous of the people. So we're going to come to that as well. So section Dalet, now what this is talking about is, as explained in various discourses, that the level of the Jewish people when they are called the well is when they are descending. They are descending to a lower level. And therefore, there has to be the service to elevate them because they've gone down, down to the level of being a well. Now we'll understand in a few moments, hopefully, why the well is on a lower level compared with other kinds of sources of water. Now, then there's the level from which they came. They were on a higher level before they went down and became a well. And that's the whole situation of the soul, the way it is when it's in the Garden of Eden. And then there's the way the soul is, about which we say when we pray in the morning, the soul which you, God, have given me is pure. And that pure, saying the soul you've given me is pure, is a very high level of the soul. And then from there, it descends in the form of you created it, you formed it, you blew it into me, and it came to be inside me. And as it says in the Song of Songs, which I mentioned before, now the Song of Songs is this poem, some people might understand it, by King Solomon, but it's talking about the different levels of the Jewish people, which in fact is what the Song of Songs is talking about them. It's talking about them as a bride, and there are different words for the bride: my sister, my special one, my dove, my pure one, right here in Hebrew, Achoti, Rayati, Yonati, Tamati. These are all words which are describing the feminine in the Song of Songs. But then there's something else in the Song of Songs. It talks about different kinds of source of water, which are also talking about the same thing. It's talking about Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, Mayan Ganim, the fountain of the gardens, Be'er Mayim Chayim, the well of living water, Nozlim min Levanon, the water which flows from the Lebanon. And that is explaining different levels among the Jewish souls. That at the beginning, they're on the level of Mayan Ganim. They're like the fountain in the gardens. That's the soul before it's born. It's there in the Garden of Eden, waiting to be born, you could say. And it's like the fountain in the garden. And then it comes down and it becomes the well of living water. And then, now it doesn't actually say it here, but I think it then becomes just a well which has to be elevated. And when the well is elevated, it reaches its highest point, Nozlim min Lebanon. That is the water which flows from the Lebanon. Now, the Lebanon, you can see the word in Hebrew, Lebanon, Lebanon. Now, that is Lev, which means heart, and Nun, which means 50. And that is like the 50 gates of understanding, which relate to the heart, the Lev, the Bina Liba, the understanding is the heart. So there are 50 gates of understanding, and the letter Nun represents 50. So that's a very exalted thing, all the gates of understanding being open. So there is a channel, a process for the soul, starting off as if being in the Garden of Eden, coming down into this world, going through different stages until it's at the lowest stage when it has to be exalted in various ways. And then it reaches this highest level of the water flowing from the Lebanon, which is the water flowing from the 50 gates of understanding. Now, I'd just like to see that we're all on board at this moment. What it's going to do, it's going to explain this in more detail, you know, so I hope we're going to understand it together. It's a very subtle drush. It's a subtle explanation of these concepts. And it's taking this verse or several verses and showing how they relate to each of us in our lives. So is there anything that anyone would like to comment? Okay. Right. Now, the difference between these two levels, there's Mayan Ganim, the fountain of the gardens, which is where the soul begins, and then there's the well. Mayan, a fountain, in the, or a spring, better, a better term, a spring. A spring is something made by heaven. A spring is not usually made by engineers. It's something that there's a spring of water which flows out of the mountain. It's like a natural phenomenon. A well is something which is made by people. So the spring, that is the way the souls are before they descend below. That's the level of Tohorahi, that the soul you gave me is pure, or the level of you created it, which is when the soul comes to the world of creation, which is still very exalted. And then they're called Mayan, then they're called a spring, which indicates things which are there from above. Shinatata be, that you have put the soul inside me. It's like something divine. And then when it says the fountain of the gardens, now the gardens mean the Garden of Eden. And when it says gardens in the plural is because there are many different levels of the Garden of Eden. And in general, there are two kinds. There's Gan Eden Elyon, there's the higher Garden of Eden, and Gan Eden Tachton, the lower Garden of Eden. And in order that Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, should be as it should be, there is need for the fountain of the gardens, right? So the Garden of Eden needs to have the fountain of the gardens. As it says in the account of creation, when it starts speaking about the Garden of Eden, that a river flows out of Eden to water the gardens. And the Jewish people, they achieve this level. One second. I'm going to. Right. The Jewish people, I'm missing out a chunk. The Jewish people, in brackets, the Jewish people achieve this because they are the fountain which waters the garden. Right, that's a fascinating thing. The Jewish people have a role in existence, and the first level of the role is in the Garden of Eden. The discourse doesn't link it, but one is reminded that Adam and Eve are told, you know, they're in the garden in order la'avdo l'shomra, in order to work it and guard it. So there's something they have to do, and what they have to do is defined here as they have to be the fountain, the spring which waters the garden from the soul of the person, which has this quality of being a spring of flowing spiritual water. But when you have the well, which is something that people make, And in fact, in this verse, it talks about the way in which the princes dig the well, right? So the verse, the song of the well that we have here, although it initially seems to be about the well of the rock, that Moses hit the rock and water came gushing out of the rock. But when it talks about it in the song, it's as if the people are digging a well, and that's what a normal well is. People dig the well. So that's after the soul has come down into this world and it's gone through all those stages of being pure and being created and being formed and being blown into the person. And now it's in the physical person in this world, this lower world, that there's nothing lower than it. And it's now like a be'er, a well, which is there through the fact that there are channels in the earth. Deep in the earth, there are channels of water, and when you dig a well, you hit these channels, and that's where the water comes from, which rises in the well. And that's where the soul goes down, this portion of the divine. And it goes right down, that it's at the same time, the soul is something divine, and it's also something very real as well. And that's why, I mean, the soul has both those qualities, because what the soul has to do is transform the physical realm around it, beginning with the body and the animal soul and other things around it. And everything that we face in our lives, all the challenges, including the current challenge for the Jewish people as a whole, all these challenges are the challenges for the divine soul to be transformed, that we should, by the way in which we relate to the challenge, however the outcome is at that moment, but the ultimate outcome is Mashiach. And the way in which we relate to that challenge, that is the way in which we are transforming the world. And that's really the purpose why we've come down into the world and have all these challenges around us, including our current challenges. Open any newspaper or whatever, and it's there. That's all part of our service of God. So the soul goes down, as it's described, into a deep pit. And that's what this world is like. So when we talk about a well, you see, there's a well where you dig the well and automatically water flows, but there's also just digging a pit and the water didn't flow yet, and it's just a deep pit. And there we are in that pit, and we are trying to fulfill what we have to fulfill and bring out the higher stages and move from one level to a higher one, to a higher one, to a higher one. So the passage of the water is like the passage of the soul, going from the highest dimension down into the physical body in the most problematic aspect of existence, which is us here in if you want to take this political situation, we are at a very crucial and problematic point. But this is all part of a divine process in order to transform the universe. And we are involved in that. And our way of thinking about it and of seeing it, in which this discourse is part of that story, that we understand that we are in this deep pit and that what we are have to do is recognize the divine, as it will say. I hope we're going to get to this, that's what it means, digging the well. Yeah, hopefully. So let's just take the discourse. Now and then, what happens with the water of the well, that the water of the well goes higher and higher and higher till it reaches the flow trickling from the Lebanon. Okay, so everything is, we've got Hezbollah, Yamat Shamam in the Lebanon, and we've got the battle of the Jewish people in the Lebanon, and there's the spiritual treasure which is in the Lebanon, Levnun, the heart and the 50 gates of understanding. Now, the point is that the soul, although the soul was on a very high level, it was to spring in the gardens. But then coming into this lower world is like the well. Now, how does the water get to be in the well? The Talmud discusses this. And the Talmud talks about kind of channels in the earth, that there are channels in the earth. It discusses how you've got the river Euphrates at the one hand, and you've got wells elsewhere on the other, and there's some kind of channel that in the river Euphrates. Now, the thing about the river Euphrates, let's just take this issue of a river. This is actually quite topical in very friendly and easygoing terms. We're in the summer months, people go on holidays, and it might come to a time that someone wants to go to the mikveh or needs to go to the mikveh, ideally. Can you dip for a mikveh? Can you dip in a river? And the general consensus is no, because the river, there are two aspects to the river. There's the water which comes, as it were, from within the river bed, as it were, exuding water, which could be a kosher mikveh. But then there's rainfall water. And the rainfall water into the river, which is flowing. You see, a mikveh has to be standing still. And it's a big problem if in the regular mikveh in a town, the water is flowing when because there's a leak. And then they have to do something about that very quickly to fix the mikveh. And a river is flowing all the time, usually. So just the flowing waters of the river are not straightforward mikveh. But then there are other solutions which one could discuss with the rabbi, what to do if one is on holiday, one needs to go to the mikveh. The sea is a much more kosher mikveh, incidentally. To go swimming in the sea is a way of going to the mikveh. Even though one is, in a swimsuit or whatever, but it's going to the mikveh. Now, and whereas the river is not. Now, the thing is, because what could happen in the river, as it says over here, that it could be sherabu notfin ala zochalin, the water which comes from the rain, that's the notfin, water pouring down, could be more than the zochalin, the water which comes from within the rocks of the river, like from underneath the river. So therefore, the water of the river is limited, and it doesn't have the law of a spring. But then, when the waters come down, now there's a thing in the Talmud called Sulma de Prat, the ladder of the Euphrates, which seems to be a kind of a channel in the earth, either that the water comes down through that channel to a lower level or even goes up to a higher level. And the digging of the well, that digging of the well is removing the earth and other things which conceal the well. So when you dig a well, it's as if the well is there and it's connected with the water which is flowing in the channels under the earth. But it's hidden by earth and stones. And you come along with a spade and you start digging the well, you are removing the concealment of these channels of water. And then it becomes a well, which is a well of living water. And that well of living water is even higher than a spring. Now, there are in the Mishnah, there are a number of different levels of impurity. Let me just see if I can share this. There are a number of different levels of impurity. Oh, I see. I'd have to. Let me just try. Let me see if I can find this. Looking in the wrong place. Right. Now here we have a Mishnah in Mikvaot. This is a section of the Mishnah all about the Mikvah. And it's talking about different types of Mikvah. And it's talking about one. Well, let's see if I can move this over. Oh, sorry. Sorry, it's being a little bit too difficult. Okay, I'm going to abandon that plan. Sorry. Anyway, the point is that in the Mishnah, at the end of chapter one of Mikvaot, it goes through a whole series of possible types of mikveh, and so it's going to say it over here as well. It's going to say it in the discourse. I just thought it would be interesting to see it in the Mishnah, but it's too hot to find out. Anyway, we then have a spring which only has a little bit of water, like a kind of feeble spring. And then we have more water, which are a kind of spring, but there's something wrong with them, mukin. They are murky water, to take a word like the Hebrew. It's murky water in some sense. And then we come to Mayim Chayim. Then we come to living water, and that's really the highest level of water. So there are different levels of water in a mikveh. And so in normal terms, if inside the mikveh there is a spring of water, that is the best kind of mikveh. And there was, I think that the mikveh that the Beavis Mark Synagogue had when it was originally built in the 17th century, they had a spring inside the mikveh. It was a very high level mikveh. I'm not sure if that mikveh is still running, but that's what it was originally, as I remember, from a history class or something. Now, or from reading it in an article. So what this means when we're talking about the soul, when the soul is in the situation of the spring in the gardens of Eden, even though this is something very beautiful and the spring is made by heaven, nonetheless, it's on a level. Although it is watering the garden, the actual spring before it waters the garden is on a higher level. And the level of water, which is called Mayim Chayim, living water, is in an even higher level. See, one of the things about the halakha is that the living water is able to purify a worse kind of impurity. And so, in fact, our service of God is precisely in this dimension that we've been describing. We are the well which has to be dug. And what happens is that the digging takes place deep below. And through the digging takes place through the princes. You could say what it says here, what that means in the service of the person is the mind and the brain. That's the prince. Because any person who is what a person should be, his brain rules his heart. He's controlled or she's controlled by the brain, not by the heart. And so therefore it's called a prince. A prince rules. So it's the brain which rules. And that is the well, which is dug by the princes, that through the digging, the well is revealed. Because by contemplating existence, as it says, when I see your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have fixed, that a person looks at the world and sees the power of Hashem in everything which is around us. And he sees also the power, which is the source of all this power, this divine power, and all the different levels that there are in this. So, since this contemplation achieves for the person the removing of the concealment and the hiding, which the physicality of the world does, that's like digging the well. Right? Contemplation of God is like digging the well, because we contemplate nature, which is like the earth around the well, and we dig through it and we discover the godliness within. And in the same way, we dig through the earth and that reveals the well, and then the water is pouring up from the well. And so there's that dimension. And then the water comes out and it purifies everyone. And so that contemplation is also contemplating one's own existence, one's own soul, and that the soul is a fountain, a spring of the gardens, and even higher. And that empowers us that we should be able to rise up, that being the well, we can rise up to a higher level. And that's what it means, the speaking to the well, like I presented it, like the male and then the female. But this is like the contemplation of our mind is like the speaking to the well, so that the well is able to rise up. And so that is able, which then flows down to the emotions in the heart, and the heart divides up its feeling of love of God and awe of God. It divides us up all over the body. And so therefore we keep away from bad and we do good. And that's what it means, that the ordinary people are also digging the well. And so therefore we've got what the princes do, what the seichel, what the intellect does. But then we've got the practicality of the emotional dimension of the person. And that's like the patriarchs, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which correspond to love and severity and Tiferet, mercy, and that includes all the different dimensions of feeling. So there's the way in which the intellect makes us, enables us to relate to the divine, and the way in which our emotions enable us to relate to the divine. And through all of that, there comes the dwelling of God in this lower world. And through this, we come to the highest level of all, that we come to the water flowing from the Lebanon. And that is that Lebanon, Lev, Nun, the heart, and the 50 is the 32. Lev is 32, 32 parts of wisdom, and the 50 gates of understanding, and the way they're united together. And further, Nozlim, this flowing down, relates to the word mazal, which is something higher than intellect and higher than the emotions. And that's all there, flowing down. And so we reach that highest level. And that's what it means. Oz Yashemo Yisrael. Then the Jewish people sang this song, Ali Ve, rise up well. That the saying of the song is because the souls achieved the way they are on the level of the low level of the well, they achieved what they had to achieve, because they had also the empowerment from their origin, the fact that they started off as the spring of the gardens. And so then they're able to achieve the speaking to the well, like through the process of contemplation, and then through our actions and our service, whether of the princes, which is like the intellect, or the generous of the people, which is like the emotions, and all that has dug through the earth, which hides the well, but we dig it through so as to reveal the well. In other words, we look at the world, and instead of the world hiding God, we see through it and we see godliness within it. However, since this service that we have at the moment, it's generally hidden. So then when we're talking about the song and including singing the song because of the miracle that was revealed, it's in a way of Shira Hadasha, of a feminine song. But only when this will be revealed in the future, then there will be the new song in the masculine. And in order to reach that, we have to have the feminine song now. And so we go through that whole process, and through this, through what we achieve in the time of exile, in the 6,000, 5,000 years of exile that we're in, and now we're at the edge of Mashiach, and the darkness will be changed to light, and in this way, we'll be able to achieve this tremendous revelation. I think that's as far as we're able easily to go in this course. Now, there is a little bit more. 1 second. And also, speaking about the spreading of the fountains, and so and going back to talk about the 12th of Tammuz, the miracle around Rabbi Joseph Isaac, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, the previous Rebbe, every year since 1927, when or 1928, when the that was fixed as the festival, and through that festival has come about through the saving of the previous Rebbe and the fact that he was able eventually to go to America and set up Chabad in America. That's been a tremendous expansion and increase in study of Torah and keeping of mitzvot. And all this weakens the power of the darkness of the exile. And through this, we will achieve that the night will shine like the day. And then we have the announcement, as we have a Pinchas, who is at the end of our Sedra, the end of Chukat, at the end of Sedra Balak, we have a double Sedra. So at the end of Balak, we have the whole idea of Pinchas. And next week's Sedra is about Pinchas. And Pinchas is equated with Elijah, who announces the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, who will come very quickly and redeem us and bring us upright to our land. Right. Okay. Any comments on it?